As multiculturalism failed, after Brexit, Britain grapples with issues of immigration and integration. From Newsweek, by Josh Lowe, January 24th, 2017. After Brexit, Britain has to learn to live with itself. That's the view, anyway, among a number of Westminster's politicians. The issue of immigration has been consistently at the heart of British politics for a little over a decade at least. But the specific issue of integration, how immigrants and the native population learn to live together, and what each should be expected to do to further that end, is discussed only intermittently, and to little effect. In the months since last June's historic referendum, in which Britain voted to leave the EU, some are trying to change that. Truka Umunna, a British Labour Party MP for a diverse South London constituency, and the son of a Nigerian immigrant, has long had a reputation as a pro-immigration campaigner. But he sees no contradiction between defending the rights of people to come to the UK and setting out some demands on them when they arrive. A report he published this month calls for mandatory English classes for immigrants, a fairly controversial idea among London-based Liberals like Umunna. The historic consensus in Britain for migration has fallen apart over the last decade or so, Umunna tells Newsweek. And the job of those of us who believe that immigration can be a good thing is to work out how we rebuild that consensus. Umunna is not alone in calling for greater work on integration. His report, co-authored with other members of the all-party parliamentary group APPG on social integration, is the second of two major reports on the subject published after the Brexit vote. The other, a review by government official Dame Louise Casey, blasted previous attempts at a government integration strategy as saris, samosas and steel drums for the already well-intentioned. Casey's report went further than the APPG's, calling for an integration oath to be sworn by new immigrants into the UK. The timing of the two reports just months after the vote for Brexit that was followed by an uptick in hate crime and much soul-searching from politicians over the significance of immigration to the vote is more coincidence than design. However, immigration has certainly been a growing concern to voters, with 35 to 45% of voters saying it was among the most important issues facing the country in 2016, compared to 8% in 1997, according to the pollster Ipsos Mori. But do Britain's different ethnic and religious communities really have a problem living together? And if they do, what pitfalls could face any government that tries to address this issue? The charge facing successive generations of politicians is that, in true British style, they have preferred to just let people muddle along and live more or less as they liked, without making any conscious effort to ensure different groups were getting on, beyond protecting their basic rights. There's some truth to this, says Sundar Katwala, head of UK-based think tank on integration and migration, British Future. I think we've never had an active strategy of integration, he says. The closest thing the UK traditionally had to an overarching integration strategy is a passive one of multiculturalism, or the idea that different immigrant communities should be able to preserve much of their distinctive culture in Britain if they want to. It's a word that appears whenever Britain's history of integration is being discussed. Umunna uses it in the introduction to his report, writing that the UK should move past the laissez-faire multiculturalism it has favoured in the past. For the opposite approach to Britain's, with its own substantial pitfalls, we can look to France, where immigrants have traditionally been expected to sacrifice many aspects of their home culture in the name of becoming French. This more assimilationist approach goes back to modern France's revolutionary origins, as Joseph Downing, a Marie Curie fellow at Aix-Marseille University, explains. The political elite after the French Revolution felt that the ethnic diversity of France itself was a weakness, he says. The Constitution of the Year 3, adopted by revolutionary France in 1795, enshrined the country's colonies as integral parts of the Republic. From that era on, the French approach has broadly been to ignore ethnic differences and maintain a strict separation between religion and government in favour of a shared national identity. In his report, Umunna says changing Britain's approach to integration should stop short of France's assimilationist politics. It's right to say that the French approach has brought substantial problems, says Downing, because the state doesn't recognise difference, it doesn't have the means to fight discrimination. This colour-blind approach has led to entrenched inequality in a range of areas of French life, from prisons — it is estimated that 70% of inmates are Muslim, but the lack of official statistics that confirm that add to the difficulty of tackling the problem — to schools, the equality required by the Constitution has made it difficult to pass laws to make it easier for poorer students from different backgrounds to reach the top universities until recent years.